This hair looking all kinds of crazy. The hair is nutty today. The hair is absolutely crazy nutty today. But you know what? We got some Hockey Talk Show ready to go for you guys. And HockeyTalkShow.com, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Super excited to get into today's topics with you. And obviously the number one topic is Game 6. Here we go. Sharks, San Jose. We're back in St. Louis. I didn't think that St. Louis was going to have a 3-2 lead going into Game 6. I predicted them to win Game 4. They did. And then they came out and absolutely crushed the San Jose Sharks for Game 5. And I'll have my thoughts on that, plus preview for tonight's action. Who's going to be out of the lineup, who the Sharks are going to be missing, and what St. Louis needs to do to close this series out, which I think they might actually be able to do. But I'm going to give you my full thoughts coming up here on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show, of course. We're going to get into the Carolina Hurricanes and their free agency woes, especially looking at the goaltender matchups. Patrick Waugh looks like he's going to be, or I shouldn't say looks like he's going to be. There is a possibility Patrick Waugh is a head coach in the National Hockey League once again. We'll talk about that for a little bit here. It's going to be a quick one, fast and furious on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. So if you got questions, throw them in the chat right now. Hit the thumbs up if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, and let's get this Hockey Talk Show rolling. All right, it is Tuesday, May 21st, 6:18 at the time of our broadcast. Thanks so much for watching or listening, wherever you're doing it from. Rob in the YouTube chat, how's it going? Make sure you guys, again, hit the thumbs up on the vid as soon as you can. And share it on your social media if you can. That'd be great. Over at Twitter or Facebook. And we'll get this thing rolling here. Game 6, Sharks and St. Louis. Obviously, this is going to be a big one for this evening. Like I said at the opening, I didn't think that the St. Louis Blues would be up in Game 6 going to try and pull this off at home. I thought the series would go 6 or 7. I thought San Jose would come on out on top. I still kind of feel that way, but the big story going into Game 6 right now is definitely injuries. Injuries and slightly feistiness, too. A little bit of feistiness in the San Jose locker room. They actually had a fight at practice today. I mean, that's kind of crazy to think about. I have the footage. I'm going to show it to you right here, and we'll talk about the injuries for... Actually, let's start with the injuries. Let's start with the injuries for Game 6 tonight. In St. Louis, obviously, that is an important thing. St. Louis Blues having the home ice advantage. These two guys, as you can see on the screen, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube right now, Tomas Hertl and Erik Karlsson are out for Game 6. They are so out that they did not even make the plane ride to St. Louis. So they are definitely not going to be in the lineup for this evening. Now, Joe Pavelski is going to be a game time decision. And that's really going to shape what this roster is going to look like tonight. And for me, really make the difference for the San Jose Sharks. Because I feel like if they don't have Joe Pavelski, I know this is a crazy hot take here, but if they don't have Pavelski, their lineup really changes, especially that second line and who's playing with Kane. And it makes it all the much harder for San Jose to overcome all these obstacles and force a Game 7 back in San Jose. It can be done. It's possible. As we've seen before, you can't really count out the San Jose Sharks in an elimination game. They seem to really thrive in elimination games. Ask Vegas about that. And if Joe Pavelski's not in, I mean, who's going to crack their head open to get the 5-minute power play, which is what they're going to need to win this game? I don't know. I don't know who steps up and takes that bloody head if Pavelski's not in the lineup. But if he's in the lineup, he's going to be there third period, all like, somebody push me over so I can crack my head open and we can come back and win this thing. We'll have to wait and see. But Pavelski not in this lineup, it really, really changes the outlook of this team. And what that does for me, when I look at this and I go, if you don't have Pavelski, and you don't have Hertl, who's been really, really good for you in the offseason, right? In the postseason, I should say. Then you're really leaning on your Timo Meyers. You're hoping that Donskoy shows up. You're putting a lot of pressure on Couture. You're hoping that Goudreau can show up and perform under pressure, which he has in the past. But you've got to play a flawless game when you don't have those guys in the lineup, you've got to play a flawless game. I'm almost not so much concerned with Carlson because as we've seen in these playoffs, he has been very immobile. There's something wrong with his left leg, a knee, an ankle. I don't know what it is, hamstring, what it is, but he has not skated well. That doesn't bode well for him, by the way, in the offseason to cash in, which everybody thinks he's going to do. But he has been injury prone all throughout this year and offseason, and I don't think it looks good for him, especially at his age when he's trying to cash in big time on a long-term contract. I don't really like that for Carlson. I think he's in a little bit of trouble as far as free agency goes. Not that he's not going to get some offers, but if he doesn't get a big offer from San Jose, I mean, I think that's going to be all telling about how he is and how fragile he is as a player. But to me, 48 out of the lineup really hurts for me. I think he's just been playing super, super well. Really good hockey all around. Again, there's good depth here for this team. Really, really good depth. But it's been the names that you want it to be that are contributing. And, you know, Tomáš Hertl, 10 goals, 5 assists. I think he has the second highest goal total on the Sharks. Just double checking that for you. Yeah, behind Couture, he's got the second most goals scored on this team. So, I mean, without him in the lineup, you are really looking at a different lineup. And again, if you're not going to have that offensive firepower, then you really have to play a flawless game defensively. And I don't know, even though he's been pretty decent down the stretch here, Marty Jones, he's given up on average 3 goals a game. And if you're not going to come in scoring 4 or 5, you're not going to have a shot at tonight. You don't have the line changes. You're away. I don't love this for San Jose. If it wasn't for the fact that they are pretty clutch when it comes to elimination game situations, I would easily say this is a St. Louis win for sure tonight. Chris, hoping the Blues win tonight. So as a Bruins fan, I can actually stay awake and watch the games in St. Louis instead of San Jose, where I'll never see them here on the East Coast. Way too late at night when you get up at 3:30 a.m. in the morning. Hey, God bless you, my friend. I get up at 4 a.m. in the morning. I definitely know what that feels like for sure. I absolutely knows what that feels like. We did have a fight in the San Jose practice this afternoon. I thought that that was pretty interesting. It was between Lucas Raitl, who's played 6 games so far in this offseason, and backup goaltender Aaron Dell. And it wasn't a huge tussle, but still, I mean, this is kind of an interesting thing from two players that really aren't involved in the playoffs so far this year. Aaron Dell has played, what? He's been in 2 games. And like I said, Lucas Raitl has been, you know, a supplemental defenseman so far for them. But they got into a tussle in practice. Let's take a look at this right here. This is courtesy of tvsports.ca. You look at Dell with the left-hand push there, and Raitl responds with a swinging stick, and they had to get separated from the ice. This looks like it was towards the end of this morning's skate. I don't know if it was an optional skate or who was there or what the circumstances were, but that is a little bizarre. Watch this here again in slow-mo. Dell throws the left to the shoulder, and Raitl swings his stick and hits him in the helmet as a retaliation. I mean, this is kind of crazy. I watched this 17 times. I don't know if this is a sign that these guys are raring up and ready to go, or if this is a sign of your backup goaltender is fighting with your 8th defenseman. I don't know. I honestly don't know what that means. That doesn't bode well for somebody that is here to give you a hockey opinion all the time, not to have an opinion on that. But it's just, it is what it is. It was a fight amongst teammates at a morning skate, which I can only assume was an optional skate this morning. So what do you think of that? I'd love to know in the comments below if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, how do you see that? You know, like if it's Logan Couture or Pavelski or somebody, you know, that's been instrumental in the game so far and they're all fired up and, you know, there's fight in them and they don't want to go down, I can see getting excited about that. But again, 8th defenseman and backup goaltender, that I don't know about. I don't know how excited you can get about that if you're a Sharks fan. Here's the thing with the Sharks. They have been here before, and this is why I can't totally count them out for tonight. Let's see here. The Sharks trail 3-2 in a best-of-7 series for the 15th time since they've entered the NHL in 1991. They have forced a Game 7 three times and won two of those series, defeating the Flames in 95 and the Golden Knights in this year's first-round playoffs. San Jose is 7-2 in the postseason after losing by at least five goals, including a win in Game 5 of the first round this season following a 5-0 defeat in Game 4. And they're 11-10 in the game after a shutout loss in the playoffs, including 2-0 in 2019. The Sharks are 16-20 in games when facing elimination, 4-0 this season. One team in NHL history has reached the Stanley Cup final after winning at least six elimination games. The 2014 Los Angeles Kings earned seven such victories before facing the New York Rangers. So take of that what you will. But I think that there is a lot of fight with the San Jose Sharks, and I think they have a chance to force a Game 7. That being said, if you're like, Ant, $1,000 of your hard-earned money, who are you putting it on tonight? I'd be lying if I didn't tell you I was putting it on the St. Louis Blues. And I think they're favored by a sliver, But Binnington, the Blues are healthy. San Jose is banged up. You got to think that even if Pavelski is in the matchup tonight, how healthy is he really going to be? You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, as we've seen with Carlson and, you know, a couple of the other players so far in the offseason, like, Carlson's been in it, but he hasn't. I mean, look, he's scoring points. I'm not going to take that away. Carlson's scoring points, let's be honest. He's third in the team in points, two goals, 14 assists. He's contributing, right? But, I mean, he's a monster, typically. And in this postseason, especially the last few games, he hasn't been. Matt, your apology accepted for just coming onto the show late. That's okay, my friend. I understand you have a life, but seriously, don't let it happen again. Chris says, it's the tension of the playoffs getting to every one of them. I think it's healthy. Liz says, I have no clue what that fight was about. I would find it funny if it was a girlfriend issue. I would find that particularly hilarious as well. We'll go to the Mike Hoffman book on that one. Eric Carlson's got to be shaking his head if this has to do with the wives or the girlfriends, because he's definitely had enough of that in his time with Ottawa. So again, yeah, if Pavelski is in, I mean, how effective is he going to be depending on what this injury is? I think this is a head injury too, right? Because he got crunched pretty bad in the last game, that hit with the ref. That was the one that he went out on. And wound up leaving the game and didn't return. So I think everybody was pulling for San Jose. Not everybody, I shouldn't say that. Outside of the Blues fans, obviously. If you are a neutral fan, I think you all kind of wanted to see Jumbo Joe versus the Boston Bruins. That's obviously the story. I also think there's an element of San Jose has become the Washington Capitals, who ironically, the Capitals were the San Jose of the East. And now the Sharks are the Capitals of the West. And, you know, those two franchises have sort of flip-flopped a little bit in the last couple of years of being snake-bitten, getting to the playoffs when everybody's been picking them to win a cup. So I think those two things, everybody kind of wanted to see San Jose go there. I think on paper, San Jose is way better. Obviously, you know, the Binnington factor withholding. But when you look at this tonight, this lineup with the injuries and everything else, I mean, come on. If you're telling me, Ant, you got to put $1,000 of your hard-earned money down on this game tonight, where are you going? I'm going with St. Louis all the way. I mean, I just can't pick against them. Binnington's been amazing. The injuries for San Jose. Jaden Schwartz. By the way, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you're going to go in there with less firepower. Your second leading goal scorer is not in the lineup. And Jaden Schwartz is hotter than any other player right now. I mean, he's got more goals in the playoffs than he had all year. Now, granted, he had a bad season this year, but still, all things considered, I mean, the guy is absolutely on fire. And I would be saying that even if he didn't score a hat trick last time out. You know, even if he doesn't score a hat trick, he's still looking at 9 goals for the postseason in 18 games. That's pretty darn good. You better figure out a way to stop that guy. And Marty Jones has to be on top of his game. Absolutely on top of his game. In order for the San Jose Sharks to squeak out a victory here. Matt, I wouldn't re-sign Carlson. The injuries are starting to pile up. He's just not the same player. Let's talk about Erik Karlsson, the guy on the right side of your screen for a second there, and what Matt had to say. I agree. I kind of agree. It's kind of scary that, you know, it wasn't that long ago right here on the Hockey Talk Show that we were talking about Drew Doughty and Erik Karlsson going to free agency. And remember that whole thing? And Drew Doughty was like, well, who's the highest played defenseman? I think it was PK Subban at the time. He's like, well, what's PK getting? Well, I'm going to call up Erik Karlsson and we're going to talk this out and make sure we're getting the most. Do you remember that? That really blew up. I got to tell you something. Drew Doughty, kind of a dick move. When you look at what he did to Erik Karlsson, he essentially cursed Erik Karlsson by dragging him into that fold. And I think the only thing that binds those two, outside of they were, you know, going to become this free agents at the same exact time, I think they share an agent, if I'm not mistaken. But that was Drew Doughty's comment. He was like, yeah, I'm going to call up Erik and we're going to figure this out and we're going to be the highest paid defenseman because we're just as good, if not better, than PK Subban. Well, since he made those comments, he went on to sign an 8-year extension with the Kings, and Erik Karlsson got traded and hurt a whole bunch. And now he's looking at far lesser of a value than what he was worth going into this, you know, time before stupid Drew Doughty jinxed him. You know what I mean? So I think Drew Doughty owes Erik Karlsson at very least a muffin basket or, you know, one of those nice little edible arrangements or something, because he probably wound up costing him, I don't even know, $15, $20 million in the long run of everything. I mean, again, I like Karlsson. He's going to get offers. People are going to get nervous in the offseason. They're going to throw big money around to try and get that mobile defenseman. They're going to pay for the player that he was. But you're looking at a player that's 28 years old, right? Had 3 goals this year. Not a great year. 53 games played. He had 42 points. Obviously, not doubting his offensive production was there somewhat. But only 3 goals. Not the player that he was. Hurt for a majority of the season. 2 goals, 14 assists in the playoffs. So again, he's helping out there in assists. I'd have to really look at that and break it down to see what are the secondary assists. How many of those assists were he really making plays? Or how many of them was he just scooping up for being the second pass on a power play? You know, so again, we'd have to really get into it. But again, to Matt's point, yeah, I mean, how much do you want to go with this guy? Considering that he's going to be 35, 36 years old in the last year of his deal. He'll be 36 if he signs with San Jose and gets 8. He'll be 35 if he goes somewhere else and signs with somebody and gets 7. How much do you want to throw at this guy? How many more years does he really, really have? Because if you look around at the league, like Chris Letang still kind of has it. Nick Leddy, not so much. These speedy offensive defensemen tend to rise and fall rather quickly. They don't have 10 years of amazing play. You know what I mean? They really, really don't seem to have that. So I'm with Matt on this one. I would be super, super cautious. Super cautious on re-signing Erik Karlsson, which is a shame because if you're San Jose, you did give up a lot for him, and the injuries really affected what you got him for, which was this year's playoff run in particular. Plus, you got Joe Pavelski to get under contract, and you got some decisions to make if you're the San Jose Sharks, for sure. But all the confidence in the world in Doug Wilson. He's done a tremendous job, and I think he's going to figure this out no matter what. Rob, I got no dog in this fight, but I just want to see an entertaining and fight-filled game. You might. You got a fight-filled morning skate this morning for San Jose. If you're joining us late on the show and you missed that, wait for the replay. You'll be able to see it up at the top of the show. A couple of San Jose Sharks exchanged some quick blows in practice this morning. It was pretty entertaining to see. Quickly mopping up, and again, if you have any questions going into this, we'll take your questions now so I can answer it before the end of the show here. But just a couple of other things to get to before we get out of the way. Let's talk about Patrick Waugh and the Ottawa Senators before we get into the Carolina Hurricanes. Patrick Waugh is going to interview for the Senators position. He will be the 7th candidate in an otherwise very public and open process for the Ottawa Senators. That's right. He'll be the 7th person. The Senators have interviewed Mark Crawford, who's been their interim coach. They have interviewed Pittsburgh Penguins assistant Jacques Martin, who's obviously had a long career as a head coach prior to his assistancy with Pittsburgh Penguins. Did I make up that word? Assistancy? Somebody looked that up. Toronto Maple Leafs assistant DJ Smith, Dallas Stars assistant Rick Bowness, who again has been a previous head coach before in the National Hockey League, and a long storied career as a phenomenal assistant and associate head coach. Providence College coach Nate Lehman and Troy Mann, coach of the Belleville of the American Hockey League. Troy Mann, who is the coach of the Belleville of the American Hockey League. And I think there might have been one more if I'm missing one. But they are really, really running around and doing a lot. And here's the interesting thing with this, which I think is backwards and a mistake from the Ottawa Senators. They need to hire a team president. Eugene Melnyk, now that Tom Dundon took his team to the Eastern Conference Finals, which is the only thing that saved him from being a bad owner, Eugene Melnyk is the worst owner in the National Hockey League. He makes dumb moves. He forces his team to trade good players. He doesn't provide enough finance for his franchise. And to top it all off, which is the cherry on top, which is great for us here in the media, not so good for the fans of the Ottawa Senators, he says a lot of dumb stuff in the media. He says a lot of dumb stuff. I mean, a record-breaking amount of dumb stuff in the media. He always says things ill-timed. He's always irresponsible. He makes, you know, job a living hell. You know, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to work for this guy and to be, it's never easy to be a general manager. You dream about that job. Everybody who wants to have that job dreams about it. And then you get that job and then your owner is like, oh yeah, can you go ahead and trade all the players that are asking for a lot of money? I mean, that is got to be just soul crushing, you know, for any general manager. So there's long been rumors that the Ottawa Senators need to go ahead and hire a president of hockey operations so that Eugene Melnyk can take a back seat, which he really needs to do. And the fact that they're focusing so hard on getting a coach instead of going after that senior executive level person to come in and run hockey operations, to me, is a mistake. I actually think that Patrick Waugh might be the right person for that. He does have that experience. I think he has shown the desire to be in the management position. Right now, he's the general manager and head coach of the Quebec Junior Major Hockey League team. But I don't know. I think he wants to be a head coach in the National Hockey League. I haven't really heard Patrick Waugh say anywhere like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to be a manager or I want to be a president of hockey operations. So, again, another misstep for the Ottawa Senators. But what do you think about Patrick Waugh coming in there as head coach? I think, you know, for me, again, personally, as somebody who covers hockey, I think it's an A-plus move because I think it'll be a total disaster. You have a very strongly, strong-headed, opinionated head coach that clearly doesn't get along with upper management, as he's shown in the past with the Colorado Avalanche. And now you're going to put him in here in this toxic environment with Eugene Melnyk. I mean, this is going to be fireworks nonstop. This is going to be a nightmare from day one. So I'm kind of rooting for it in that sort of sense. But in a sense of like for the Ottawa Senators fans' sake, no. Again, you need to stop this head coach search right away and focus on who is going to come in to take a little slack off of Eugene Melnyk. And by the way, you might be sitting there thinking like, oh, well, why would Eugene Melnyk want to take a step back? What owner would want to do that? Clearly, he doesn't want to do that. It's my understanding that there have been some high-level discussions from the league to Eugene Melnyk of like, hey, maybe you should talk to these three or four people, come in here and take some of the slack off of you and give you a little help running this organization. Eugene is focused on getting the Senators moved from their current home at Canadian Tire Place, I think it's still called, and getting a downtown thing going in Ottawa, which has fallen through for the time being. And I think he should be focused on doing that and let somebody else come in there and run the organization. All right, let's talk a little bit of free agency. We'll take a question here. Blues taking on Berube's mentality. The Blues have been great. I mean, that's the thing. The Blues have been phenomenal. Binnington's been great. Schwartz is coming alive. Tarasenko is contributing where he needs to. Their defense has just been wonderful all around. I mean, can you complain about the St. Louis Blues performance to this date? They came in there in a pivotal game five and crushed the San Jose Sharks in their home rink. Alex Petrangelo's got 2 goals, 10 assists. David Perron's been good. Ryan O'Reilly has been phenomenal on both sides of the puck. I was shocked to see that he's a -5 in the playoffs so far this year because I just thought he was having one hell of a year. I mean, he looks like he's playing a lot better than that. Pat Maroon has 7 points in 18 games. It's not phenomenal, but again, on the defensive side of the puck, he's been great. Vince Dunn's contributing where he needs to. Jay Bouwmeester, you know, I mean, they've got it all going. And Binnington's got a 2.4 goals against average. That was like a 1.76 before he faced the San Jose Sharks. So what's not to love about the Blues? Do you think all this time off is going to hurt the Bruins' chances? Chris, I think it hurts the Bruins' chances overall. I think it helps Zdeno Chara, who's obviously getting up there in age, who was obviously injured in the last game. He returned to practice yesterday, I think, which is great. And I think it's good to have a healthy Zdeno Chara. So I think it helps him, but I think it hurts other teams. A lot of people will say, you know, rust versus rest and what's the better thing and blah, blah, blah. I think in this playoffs, again, from the Eastern side, we've seen that rest hurts. It hurt the Islanders. It hurt the Carolina Hurricanes. Both of those teams were swept. If the Boston Bruins get swept here, I think next playoffs, if a team is up 3-0 in a series and they're winning a game, if they're winning game four about to sweep, I think they're going to pull their own goaltender so that they can go to game five. I literally think that's going to happen. I don't really think that's going to happen. But I think, you know, the sweep has been a curse so far. If I'm the Bruins organization, I am organizing. To me, I would have gave the guys a bunch of days off after game four against Carolina, and I'd have them back in there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even up till Saturday maybe, because I think game one of the Stanley Cup Finals is Monday, and you're going to have a lot of media and stuff. I would be running them ragged in practice right now. I'd be doing scrimmage games. I'd bring in college, whatever, call up the Providence Bruins. I think they're out of the AHL playoffs. I don't even know, to be honest with you. But I would do whatever I can do to get a competitive practice on the ice, to simulate a game situation, to get them going in practice. Like, if I'm the Bruins, I want to see a fight in practice. I want to see these guys pissed off and ready to go in a major, major way. I also think that they are sort of veterans in a sense where that stuff, even though it affected the Islanders, even though it affected the Carolina Hurricanes, the Bruins have been around before, and it might not affect them as much as it did those other two franchises, for sure. Before we get to Carolina, while we're on it, real rumors, Islanders trading Letty, Hickey, Joshua Hosang this summer. Thoughts? Entirely possible. Lou's had the franchise for a year now. I think he's going to really put his fingerprints on it. He couldn't really do much. You can't really do much in one offseason, especially when you get named to a position just prior to the draft. You know, it takes a while to get to know all the players in your organization. Certainly, Hosang trading rumors are going to be running rampant in the offseason. He's failed to crack the lineup. It's an attitude problem for sure. I blame the Islanders at first. Lou comes in. Barry Trotz comes in. They set a standard, clean slate, new people, and he still can't crack the lineup. They go for Michael Dalcolle over him, and that is terrible. Dalcolle is nowhere near the offensive threat that Joshua Hosang is. He hasn't put up outstanding numbers in the AHL, which if you're a purebred scorer in the National Hockey League, you should be blowing up the AHL, giving them no choice but to call you up. So I think a trade is likely. I also never thought the Islanders would trade Letty. I still don't think they will, but the possibility is out there when you have Devon Taves and Pulock and Pelech, who had some great years. Pelech, not so much in the playoffs, but those other two did really, really well. And you got Noah Dobson, who is dominating a major junior right now, Memorial Cup, having the run of his lifetime. He could be coming up next year. There's some depth and some youth there. It's possible. I think Hickey's a non-factor. Nobody's trading for Thomas Hickey. I like him a lot. He's a seventh defenseman at best. Nobody's giving you anything. You could throw him in on a trade, but it ain't going to really move the needle much. No general manager is going to sit there and go, oh my God, Hickey is a sweetener. I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. Michael Dal Cole had much better offensive numbers in the AHL and the NHL this season. I'll agree with that. Well, obviously, you know, Hosang didn't play in the NHL this season. But, yeah, I mean, Dal Cole showed up for more. But, I mean, let's be honest. On paper, when you're looking at these two guys, Hosang is a far greater threat than Michael Dal Cole is. Far greater. And Dal Cole is 2 years older than him, maybe. I mean, he's had a lot more time, at least a year, ahead of Dal Cole, ahead of Hosang to develop, and has really come along slowly. I like Michael Dal Cole. I think he did some things that were great, and hopefully he'll have a better campaign next year. But I think, again, when you look at Oliver Wahlstrom and you look at Kiefer Bellows, you're going to see Dal Cole get squeezed out of the way, especially if Lou winds up bringing in a free agent in the offseason, which you got to look out for. And as really as we get more closer and closer to it, I think the San Jose Sharks would be foolish to let their captain Joe Pavelski go. But if Pavelski hits the open market, I think for sure the Islanders got to be a player in that. And you know who else should be a player in that? The other 29 hockey teams. Because Pavelski is a gem and a great leader and could help any franchise, especially down the middle. And I think that San Jose would be foolish not to bring him back. But I think it might be possible as San Jose, again, has some guys coming up in the ranks and might just want an overall different look. If they don't make it, if they let Jumbo Joe go, you know, we'll see what the San Jose Sharks look like. But if they're going to throw big money at Carlson and keep him, and now you have Evander Kane, I don't know. I would think that if you wanted Joe Pavelski back, he'd have had his name on a contract already. That's just my thought here. Real disagrees with me. No way, buddy. I've watched every single Sound Tigers game this year. They are the same age, both drafted in 2014. Why do I feel like Dal Cole had one more year prior to Hosang in the minors? And I just feel like he did. Are you sure they're the same age? I could be wrong about that. Kunockel is gone for sure. MDC on the roster next season. Bellows, bad AHL numbers, good playoff performance. Wahlstrom could make the roster, but probably not. Depends on a lot of factors. I think these, you know, look, your year is going to determine a lot, but it's just going to be how you are in camp next year. I mean, nobody pegged Barzal for the NHL lineup when he came into camp, and he wound up winning his spot out. So, yeah. I mean, you're not saying anything that's untrue. Although I honestly loved Kunockel's game more than I liked Michael Dal Cole's game in the playoffs. I thought Kunockel, even though he couldn't notch any points, if you watch those games, he was a far better player on the ice. But he's a depth player, and everybody knows that. We'll see. We're definitely going to spend more time on the rosters and how they're going to shape out. But let's talk about the Carolina Hurricanes, because on the last show that we had here, we talked about them sort of blowing up their roster and letting all their players go. And I told you that there were a lot of rumblings that general manager Don Waddell would be stepping aside. And I still think that that's going to happen. And that they were letting both their goalies go, and Aho doesn't have a contract, and there were no plans in place to offer him a contract. All these crazy, insane things. A lot of rumors running rampant. Well, finally, Don Waddell spoke, and he did say something that kind of caught my ear. And it was about Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney, which was that they were going to have them both back. But the way he said it, and I'm going to read you a quote here, quote, "We're under the feeling that we would like to have both of them back," end quote. What the hell does that mean? We're under the feeling? Who's we? You? Through Tom Dundon, the owner? You mean you'd like to have them back, but you don't know if you have the money to have them back. Is that what you're saying? Because that's kind of what it sounds like. We're under the feeling that we would like to have both of them back. He went on to say, and I quote here, saying that they both have the right to be unrestricted free agents. We will begin shortly talking to their representatives, but our goal would be to bring them both back if we could. Don Waddell is not my favorite general manager in the world. I, in fact, think he had a phenomenal year this year. I don't think he's a good general manager, period. I think he's a good front office guy. I think he's a fairly decent evaluator of talent. But when you look at his record with the Atlanta Thrashers, he was not great. And I think he's got a similar ownership situation where ownership is not willing to spend whatever it takes to win. And I don't think that's good for Waddell. And I think that's why he has a desire to slip up the chain and get away from the GM position. But to say we're under the feeling that we would like to have them back, and our goal would be to bring them both back if we could, to me tells me they got X amount of money to spend on that goalie position, and bringing them both back is impossible. Maybe they'll get one of them back. And I got news for you. Peter Mrazek is a hell of a lot younger than Curtis McElhinney is, and he's going to command a lot more money. So I could see McElhinney coming back and that being like, look, we brought part of our goaltending tandem back. But I don't think that Peter Mrazek is going to take less to stay in Carolina. I just don't. Also, there's no word about Scott Darling, who has been missing in action for quite some time. He took a personal leave. He's got a big, fat contract. The rumor is that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to buy him out. I think that that would be a smart move. And finally, Waddell indicated that he is not going to pursue Michael Furland, which I think is a mistake because I think he is a solid bottom six, mid six player. A lot of grit, a lot of toughness, some good speed. He had 17 goals and 23 assists, 40 points in 71 games. Not too bad. Gives you that little bit of sandpaper that they need. He didn't really show up much for the playoffs and didn't have a good offseason. About him, Rod Brind'Amour said, Michael missed a big portion of the year in the playoffs, and we didn't really miss a beat. We had other guys who stepped into that role, and it's something we will try to continue to get. So Furland is out on the free agent market. I think he'd be a great addition to a lot of franchises. Again, I like his game a lot. A lot of sandpaper there. And Waddell said there's been no decision on Darling and about Aho. He said, and I quote, in the next days, there will be some conversation with his agent. The goal, the end goal, we're going to get him signed. I hope it's something that we're talking about in August and September. I hope it's not something we're talking about in August, September, excuse me. I think you've got a player that wants to be here, and from our end, we want him here. I truly believe we should be able to figure this out relatively in a short time frame. I do think they have a shot at Aho, but they got to offer the right money. To me, it was clear that when they sent Jeff Skinner packing, the owner really liked Sebastian Aho, liked his grit, liked his work ethic, and he was going to be the one that they were going to center this team around. But he had a career high 83 points, 30 goals, 53 assists. You got to pay up a lot for that. And again, it's early, but all indications from the Carolina Hurricanes are they're not ready to spend a lot on players, that they're going to be bargain basement hunters. I hope for the sake of Carolina fans that that is not the case. Real makes a good point on Peter Mrazek. His sample size is a little small. Well, remember, he had great runs with Detroit. He was going to be the guy that was taking over for Jimmy Howard, and he got it for a little while there, and then he blew it. That dynamic between Howard and Mrazek in Detroit seemed to hurt the two of them more than it helped the two of them. And then he gets tossed around. He finds his way to Carolina, and he has a great year. So he's had some flashes of brilliance. But again, as we've seen with the goaltending situations in the National Hockey League this year, the days of Henrik Lundqvist and Carey Price, I honestly feel, are over. Case in point, Jordan Binnington. Here was a guy that was going down to the East Coast Hockey League, refused to take the assignment, wound up playing for Providence, not his parent team, is AHL's equivalent, and through injury found his way back into the lineup and wound up taking this team by storm into the Western Conference Finals. And now he's one win away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Again, McElhinney, Binnington, Mrazek. I think the future of goaltending in the National Hockey League is going to be, let's get three or four guys we think can do it, and let's see what's what. I just think that that's going to be the play moving on from here on out. We will be previewing the Stanley Cup Finals this week, obviously. Whether or not this goes into seven games or not, the next show will most likely be a preview of either Game 7, San Jose, St. Louis, or Game 1 for the Stanley Cup Finals. We also expect the National Hockey League to speak before the Stanley Cup Finals come along. We expect them to address the referee situation for the finals. I think that something needs to be said from the league. And not only that, there is usually some good amount of press availability of Gary Bettman and the rest of the NHL on what next year's competition committee is going to have for us rule changes, what's in store there, and lots of other fun stuff. So there are a lot of great hockey talk shows coming up in the next 7 to 10 days. And of course, we're going to be all over the Stanley Cup Finals. The idea of doing the live views, somebody emailed and asked about that. Are we going to do the live watch-alongs? I think we're going to do a couple of them. I don't know if we're going to do 4, 5, 6, 7. Don't know. But we're going to do a couple of them where we can watch the Stanley Cup Finals together like we did last year. That was always very fun. And if we do do that, we will bring back the $100 Hat Trick Challenge, which is you guys pick a player just prior to face off on both sides. You get to pick a player on each team. And if they score a hat trick, we'll give away $100 to anyone who picks the player. And if there's more than you, we'll do it randomly between the people who have picked the proper player. So that's all to come here on the Hockey Talk Show. Remember to spread the word to your friends, hockeytalkshow.com. Spread it on social media, Twitter and Facebook. We're available also via the podcast. Even if you caught a portion of this show, make sure you guys go back and listen to the podcast as soon as we upload it. That is our major source of income on the Hockey Talk Show, and we are available on every single major podcaster, Apple, Google, and of course, Spotify as well. Enjoy the Game 6 action tonight from St. Louis. Give me the St. Louis Blues to close out this series and shock the world. Too many injuries to overcome for the San Jose Sharks. I like St. Louis tonight, making it Bruins Blues. Thanks, Matt, for the kind comments. Thanks, Real Real, Aaron, Rob, Liz, Ant, the man of words, everybody in the YouTube, Chris, Matt, Joan, everybody in the Facebook. Thanks, guys, so much for the discussion. And